were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day in the Lord. The scripture says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And so we can rejoice, ladies and gentlemen, because God is still on the throne and prayer is still changing things. Oh, yes. Prayer still changing things. Listen, if God was not on the throne, then I would be very nervous. But because God is on the throne, I can relax. All of us can relax. We can chill. We can take it easy. Because God's got everything under control. Did you hear what I said, beloved? I said God has got everything under control. And God has got a blessing for you with your name on it. Yes, he does. God's got a blessing for you with your name on it. And God has given you another day for his grace and for his glory. Because he's up to something great in your life. So just let him have his way. All right. I'm excited that you have joined us today. Today is the day that we focus in on our marriages. And so we got question and answer. Marriage question and answers is today. And I'm excited about that. We always have a good time with marriage questions and answers. But before we do that, just in case you have a marriage question, yes, I will take your marriage question and answer, try to give you an answer to your marriage question. But you got to send them in. You got to send them in or call them in. You can send them in at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. You can email them in. Or you can call them in and leave it on the voicemail, 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right. Well, let me get my Bible here. All right. And let me get the marriage questions. All right. I got the questions here. We got three good questions this morning. Hopefully, we can answer all three of them. All right. First question, how do I keep from falling into temptation? Well, the question that you probably need to ask first is, why do people fall into temptation? Why do people fall into temptation? That's where I think we would need to start if I'm going to answer the question, how do I keep from falling into temptation? Well, why do people fall into temptation? First, I think that some people fall into temptation because they are deceived. Did you hear what I said? Some people fall into temptation because they are deceived. You got one group of people that fall into temptation because they're deceived. Because, see, when the first temptation happened, Adam and Eve, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. The devil deceived her to eat off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. She was deceived. Ask God then to give you a discerning spirit so that you won't fall into temptation. Yeah, that you can be able to discern. See, the devil showed up as some help, somebody to help her. Yeah, when that snake showed up, she thought that that snake was trying to help her, but that snake this ended up deceiving her because the devil was working through the snake. And that's kind of how it is with temptation. Temptation shows up as an opportunity. Listen to me good. Are you listening to me? Temptation shows up as an opportunity to do good, but it ends up in evil. Yeah. Temptation often shows up as an opportunity for something good to come out of this thing, but it often ends up in evil coming out of it. Yeah, and something bad happening. Yeah, so a lot of people fall into temptation because they're deceived. People also fall into temptation because they love something else more than they love God. See, from let's just stay with that temptation of Adam and Eve over in Genesis chapter 3. Adam, why did he fall into temptation? He didn't fall into temptation like Eve fell into temptation for the same reason. Eve was deceived, but the Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived. Adam went and he fell into temptation with his eyes wide open. Why was that? It's because he loved Eve more than he loved God. So he knew that God had already said, listen, the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die. So Adam loved Eve enough to die with Eve. He knew Eve was going to die, and he didn't want to live without Eve. So Adam, he fell into temptation because he loved Eve more than he loved God. And see, that's why a lot of people who are sin knowingly what they are doing, see, they know that this here was a sin. Well, why did they sin? Because they love their sin more than they love God. That's what that's about. That's what it's about. Now, when you look at Joseph, when you go over there to the 39th chapter of Genesis, Joseph was the opposite of Adam. When Joseph had a chance to sin and commit adultery with his boss's wife, you remember Miss Potiphar? She came on to Joseph, and she wanted Joseph to lie down with her. And basically, she was sexually harassing him every day on the job. She was trying to get him to come to bed with her. And when they was in the house by themselves, the Bible says that she grabbed Joseph. See, that was a setup right there. That was a setup right there. She set him up. She had sent all the workers out the house, and so that her and Joseph could get it on. And she grabbed Joseph. But Joseph, he ran. Matter of fact, he ran out of his coat. She had his coat, and he left that coat with her. And he would rather lose his coat than lose his soul and his testimony. Yeah. So of what he did, he fled. And that's what the Bible says you have to do. The Bible says flee fornication. And so whatever sin is, if you want to keep from falling into that sin or falling into that temptation, when you see that temptation, get away from it. If you know that alcohol is a temptation for you, then don't be hanging around alcohol. Don't be hanging around folks that drink and stuff. Yeah, yeah. If you know that this lady is tempting you, well, don't be hanging around that lady. See, you don't want to be putting yourself in a compromising position. No, no. You don't want to put yourself in a compromising position. So to keep from compromising, to keep from falling into temptation, tell your feet to do its stuff. You need to run like Joseph ran. Yeah, yeah. Whether you, if your temptation is alcohol, run from it. If it's drugs, run from it. If it's sex, run from it. Whatever it is, flee from it. Run from it. And then, at the same time, be like David. Be like David. David said he put the word of God in his heart. Let me find that scripture for you. That's Psalms 119. That's Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 11. Psalm 119 and 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So that's what you need to do. You need to hide the word of God in your heart so that you will have the power and the strength to run. Yeah, that's what you need to do first. Because see, if you don't have the word in your heart, then you won't be able to resist temptation when it comes into your life. Matter of fact, our perfect example of somebody fighting temptation and resisting temptation is none other than Jesus Christ over in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, he resists the devil. When the devil came and tempted him, remember, the devil came and tempted him and wanted him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So Jesus had the word of God in his heart. See, you just can't tell the devil when the devil come into your life, a temptation come into your life. Gone, gone devil, gone temptation. You got to be able to have that word in your heart so you can quote that scripture and fight that devil with some scripture. That's what you got to be able to do. And three times the devil came and tempted Jesus. And all three times, Jesus, he had the word. He quoted the scripture all three times at the devil. And then the Bible says the last time that the devil, he ran. See, you can run the devil out your life if you got scripture. See, the devil ain't scared of you unless you got some scripture. If you got scripture and you know how to pray, then you can run the devil out your life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, that's it. That's how you keep from falling into temptation. All right, hopefully that helped you. Let me move on to the next question. The next question is, my spouse has to travel a lot for work, and I'm beginning to feel neglected. What can we do to overcome this? All right, let me read this question again. My spouse has to travel a lot for work, and I'm beginning to feel neglected. What can I do to overcome this? Well, y'all need to stay in touch. Even though he's out of town or she's out of town, y'all need to stay in touch. You need to call each other. Call each other. Call each other every day or as often as you can. Call each other as often as you can. See, that today is different than it was, you know, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I can recall when my wife and I, we was dating. She was in college in Mississippi and I was going to college out here in Texas. And at that time, you didn't have no cell phones like they do today. And so if you was going to try to keep in touch, you had to make long distance phone calls. And these long distance phone calls, you know, they was expensive. Even though you could try to get Sprint, or you could try to get MCI, you know, some of these long distance carriers. At that time, they would kind of give you a break. You know, what Sister Wilburn and I did, we would try to call each other on the weekends, you know, because the telephone rates was cheaper on the weekend. So we would try to, you know, call each other, you know, on the weekend. And it was just good to hear her voice on the weekend. And during the week, we would write each other. We would write each other. Sometimes I would receive 2 and 3 letters in the same week from Sister Wilbur. Yeah. And that made us, you know, get closer and closer and closer. And when I did go to Mississippi to see her, oh boy, I would really just look forward to seeing her, you know. So that's what you need to do. Y'all need to just stay in touch. And see, it's a lot cheaper today to stay in touch, because see, now you got your cell phone. You got your cell phone, and a lot of those calls won't be no long distance call. And so you can call each other, you know, on your cell phone. You got your text. You can text one another now. You can email. Yeah, you can email each other. So find a way, my brothers and sisters, you know, find a way to keep in touch with each other. You know, sometimes you can call each other twice a day. And listen, when y'all are talking, make some plans to be together, do something special. You know, when your mate come home, be making some plans. Let your mate know. Listen, when you come back, this what I want us to do. When you come back, you know, talk some, you know, some sweet stuff. Y'all know how to do it. You know how to do it. Talk some sweet stuff into one another ear. Put some sweet stuff on a person's heart and mind, and let them know. Now, when you come back, we're gonna have a good time. You know, when you come back, we're gonna send the children to bed early or something. You know, when you come back, this what we're gonna do. Yeah. And so what you're doing, basically, you're keeping hope alive, you know, when you do something like that. Because see, that's one of the problems. You're feeling a sense of neglect because there's no hope. Hope is missing. But if you put hope back in there, oh my goodness, you know, that person can leave on Monday, and you can say, now when you come back on Friday, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this on Friday. Oh man, that husband or that wife, they're going to be thinking about that all week long. And so put some hope in there. Put some hope. Keep hope in there. You know, Jesus saw his disciples getting kind of discouraged and stuff, because he had told them, you know, I'm getting ready to die, and you know, I'm going to have to move on out off the scene. But then he took Peter, James, and John up to the mountaintop over in Matthew chapter 17. And the Bible says Jesus was transfigured. In other words, what was on the inside of Jesus came to the outside. And the Bible says Jesus was just like a light. His face shined like the sun. And his clothes was shining, so it was like pure snow, white as snow. And then Elijah and Moses came down to talk with Jesus. In other words, it was like heaven on earth right up there at the mountaintop. And when Peter woke up, Peter said, "Ooh-wee, it's good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just stay right here. Why did Peter say that? Because Peter got a glimpse of heaven, what heaven is like, and it was glorious. That inspired Peter you know, to want to go on, to want to go all the way to the end. He was looking forward now to heaven. Why is that? Because he got a glimpse of glory. Yeah, hope. Jesus gave him hope. That's what you got to have. You got to put some hope in your marriage. Yeah. Put some hope in your marriage. Make some plans. Make some dates. Yeah. Make some plans for a romantic evening and put some hope, put some spice back into your marriage. Yeah. And I think that if you do that, then you won't be feeling so neglected. Yeah. All right. We got time for one more question. Let me move right on. I'm very cheap when it comes to spending money, but my mate is the opposite. My mate is a big spender, which is causing big problems in our marriage. My spouse likes to go to expensive restaurants or to amusement parks or other entertaining events, and we really don't have the money to spend. What can we do to overcome this problem? Let me read that again. I'm very cheap when it comes to spending money, but my mate is the opposite. Okay, so we got one that's a spending, one is don't like to spend. My mate is a big spender, which is causing big problems in the marriage. My spouse like to go to expensive restaurants or to amusement parks or to other entertaining events, and we really don't have the money to spend. What can we do to overcome this problem? Well, you know what's happened. You know, this problem of your mate being a big spender just didn't start yesterday. It was there when y'all was dating, but see, at that time it felt good when he was, or you know, she was spending money on you. But now that y'all are married, you see that you don't have the money to spend. Yeah, see, when you're dating and you're in two separate houses and stuff like that, you don't really, you know, when somebody's spending money on you, it ain't none of your money that's being spent. So, you know, that ain't none of your gas money, your light bill money, your rent money. You know, it ain't taking no money out of your pocket. Matter of fact, it's keeping money in your pocket because somebody else is spending. But now that you are married, now you got all your money in one pot. And so now your mate is spending money on, you know, going to the amusement parks, the ball games, and these expensive restaurants, now is taking money out of your pocket. Yeah. It's taking money out the pot now that y'all really, it's taking your rent money, it's taking your gas money, it's taking the money away from the family. So now it's a problem. It's a problem now. See, what need to happen is your mate, you and your mate, y'all got to sit down and put together a practical budget. Yeah, that's what's going to have to happen. Yeah, you got to put together a budget that includes, you got to include in your budget now a recreational fund or a going out fund or a dinner fund, you know. It's nothing wrong with those things, but you just got a budget for it. That's the problem. Most people are impulse kind of shoppers, like, so to speak. A lot of time on Sunday, right after church, everybody say, "Where y'all going to eat? What are you going to eat?" So somebody said, "Well, I'm going to Furs. I'm going to, come on, go with us. Come on, go with us to Golden Corral or Furs or whatever." Well, you may not really have the money to go to Golden Corral or Furs. Red Lobster, we're going to Red Lobster. But you just kind of get caught up with the flow. And that's what happened. But what you have to do, you're going to have some discipline. You're going to have some discipline. And so you and your mate, y'all going to have to sit down and you're going to have to talk. Y'all going to have to really talk. See, most people don't talk. They're so busy. They're so busy. This one is going to work early, and this one is going to work late, and this one here, we got to go pick up the kids. And so in the daily grind of everyday working and school and what have you, people don't have time to talk. So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to set forth a day where y'all have kind of like a business meeting. I call it family council. And once a week you need to have family council where y'all sit down and you discuss what's gonna happen this week. Who's gonna pick up who, and who's, you know, who gonna pick up the kids, who's gonna pay this bill, and so you gotta keep, you know, the main thing. You got to keep focus. And then you say, okay, well, look like this week here, we only got this bill and this bill. So do you want to go out on Friday night? It look like this can be a good date night since we don't have no other bill but this bill right here. And so make plans. So number one, sit down and do a budget. And then number two, do family council, where you kind of have like a good little business meeting every week. Take the calendar, take the bills out every week, and make sure that you're getting everything paid and accomplished. Because see, the Bible tells the husband, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. And so a wife, if your husband is spending a lot of money, then let him know your fears. You sit down and tell him about your fears and stuff. And I believe that once he hear your heart, then he'll bag up, and vice versa. I believe that once your mate hear your heart, then I think that they would make some changes, because that's the thing about love. Love, you change because you love a person. You know, it's just like us loving God. You can tell when a person love God. The things they used to do, they don't want to do them no more because they're in love with God. In the same way, if your mate really love you, then he or she, that they're going to go ahead and change. Yeah. All right. Well, God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Well, those were three good questions. And look like we got them all in today. And look like now the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for this portion of this Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLIT Bids. At the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready now for Miss June. I'm going to get Miss June Hunter on. Boy, she's a great counselor. You don't want to miss her great counseling. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book and let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. And 11 o'clock, we take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner, right here, in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.